All right, folks, my name is Josh Hockett. I'm here in St. Louis, Missouri. This is going to be the debut of a special feature that we are going to be doing on Down to Feast called The Big Bite. Basically, it's a soundbite, quick little interview with some of the biggest names in competitive eating. For those of you that might not know the names, or you're just getting to know the names and faces of some of the biggest eaters in competitive eating, this will be your chance to get to meet the eaters, who they are, where they're at, what makes them different in their particular take on competitive eating. And without further ado, the very first interview I'm going to be doing is with Eric Lampkin, who, to my knowledge, is still in San Marcos, California. Ironically enough, Eric is one of the few, one of the few competitive eaters who I've got to meet several times face-to-face early in his days when he first started doing food challenges down in San Diego, my old neck of the woods. Real quickly, he became really good at it. I was kind of just finishing up my little competitive eating stint, and then he surpassed me tenfold, so I've been following him since. So, Eric, thanks for being the first person to do an interview.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I wouldn't say I've surpassed you tenfold. I pretty much, as Josh said, got introduced to competitive eating through watching my top idols on competitive eating, and just started watching Matt Stoney on YouTube. And then I was really into fitness myself, and so I always have had pretty much a big appetite. I went through a really rapid weight loss phase during my teenage years, and I pretty much just did nothing but eat super healthy and vegetables all the time. And with that, could never really get satiated through normal amounts of food. So I always kind of contemplated what it would be like to do an actual eating challenge. And so I kind of just started doing some research and came to find that I could actually eat a lot more food than I thought I could. So I started doing food challenges, and here we are 4 years later, and I got a YouTube channel and all that. So it's been really, really fun.
When was your first food challenge?
The first food challenge I ever did was August of 2013, and it was at a place called The Broken Yolk here in San Diego, and it was a breakfast challenge, and it was probably one of my most favorite challenges. I think everybody that does competitive eating will always remember their first food challenge that they ever did, so that was very memorable for me.
Ironically enough, that was my first one too. It was one of the first ones I did. I lost about four bites away, and that's what drove me to want to keep doing it, because I was so pissed that I was that close and lost, but that's ironic.
Yeah. And it was on Man vs. Food too. So you kind of, every time you see one of those on TV, you want to do as much as you possibly can to beat it. So it's funny, that was your first one as well.
I think that's what spurned a lot of people to try it, is that Man vs. Food episode. But how old are you?
I am 24 years old, and I graduated in Cal State San Marcos recently with my degree in communications.
You kind of came from the other end of the spectrum.
I was on BBC recently talking about it too. When I mentioned earlier, I went through a rapid weight loss phase. It kind of catapulted me into a anorexic mindset, and I was diagnosed with anorexia when I was 16 years old. And so when you're in that really restrictive mindset, and a lot of people like to say, well, you're on the other side of the spectrum now where you're doing these eating competitions and eating challenges. It's not really that way with me, but I found that competitive eating allowed me to see what it was really like to actually eat tons upon tons of actual food that I was afraid of for the longest time. And so I found that doing that was a great thing for me to actually overcome my own issues. Going from anorexia to doing eating challenges was something that I've always been extremely proud of.
Ever since meeting you in person, you're just a cool guy as it is, but I thought, as somebody who works in the fitness and health professions myself, that was a pretty inspiring story. Listeners who don't know who Eric is, who may have or are currently struggling with such issues, I think you might find a lot of inspiration and education in some of his platforms and social media he has. So check it out and you'll see exactly what I mean. But yeah, that's definitely something that makes you unique, Eric.
Thank you very much.
What do you enjoy most about eating contests and challenges?
It's funny you ask that, because I just got back from doing a sushi challenge 3 days ago at a local place here in San Diego. And I walked into this place and it was their anniversary for the restaurant. They had me come back and do two food challenges combined into one. It's 2017 and people still really aren't accustomed to seeing people eat large amounts of food, both in a competitive way, in a I'm just going to go watch a food challenge type of way. If you pulled a random person aside in a restaurant and said, okay, well, we're going to have somebody come in and do a food challenge, they're going to eat 10, 11, 12 pounds of food, they're automatically going to think that person's 400 pounds. Whereas they see me and they see a guy that's eating 12, 13, 14, sometimes even 15 pounds of food in a sitting, and they're watching it go down my throat, just seeing their reactions is hilarious to me. So I get a lot of amusement. And then doing challenges, like I mentioned earlier, I do YouTube as my full-time job now. And from a personal sense, I've gotten a lot of growth. I've gotten to meet a lot of awesome people. I've gotten to go travel to so many different places through competitive eating. It's allowed me to meet people and like I said, travel to a lot more places, which is awesome.
You know, I didn't even think about that. I mean, there's the enjoyment and the spectacle and the competitiveness of the eating. But yeah, you've got to do quite a bit of travel based on invitation and meeting Molly Shuler and Nate Figueroa. And I mean, some other big names within YouTube. And I didn't even think about that. That's all been as a windfall from your competitive eating. So what, if any, strategy do you use for challenges?
I've competed in a lot of different contests, and I've done a lot of different challenges with so many different food types. One of my good friends, Randy Santel, actually has a website dedicated to actual food tips because he does so many damn restaurant challenges. I would say that it really honestly just depends on the different food types. So if I'm going to a restaurant and doing a steak challenge, I'm going to be prepared to do a lot of chewing, and I'm going to have a lot of liquids ready. If it's going to be something that's really dense in carbohydrates, I'm going to definitely make sure to use a lot more liquid. For example, I went to Canada last year to do the World Poutine Eating Championships. When you have French fries, you have gravy, you have cheese curds, you just got to kind of dump it all at once, and there's not really a strategy involved. So I would say it really just depends on the food type itself. I'm pretty well known to make really good use of liquid during my actual contests. Some types of food, you just can't even use a strategy. I mean, my first ever contest was a boysenberry pie eating contest, and it literally just turns into straight up gloop. So you have gloop all over your hands, and you're just going to try to eat as much of it as possible, and that's the best you can do. That's honestly the best you can do. I always tell people this, if you're ever doing a food challenge, and you will remember this too, Josh, is we did this sandwich called the Big Fat Fatty. That sandwich comes out so piping hot that I noticed that whenever I started doing food challenges in restaurants, I always gave it as much time as possible for it to cool off. Because if I didn't, the steam would actually build in my stomach and it would actually fill me up way, way quicker. So now a big strategy I use is I actually let the food cool off a ton before I actually get to it.
Yeah, when they come out piping hot, you don't want to dive right in because, I mean, it literally, it burns. And like you said, even the steam factor, and that's something you learn with the experience. Well, and you know, it's funny too, you say, well, Randy Santel's got that website with some suggestions, because that at the time was the only place I knew to get any tips before I'd started my little escapade. That was exactly the tips I used for about 10, 11 months I did food challenges, because that's all I knew of. And it proved itself pretty effective. So
as competitive eaters, a lot of other eaters are good at different foods. Like, I'm very good at downing carbs. I'm not good at eating a lot of meat because I don't eat meat regularly. So there's a lot of different things that go into it.
We are more alike than we even knew, because I'm the same way. Pancakes, something like that, I am all game. If it's dairy or meat, it's game over. Favorite foods, worst foods within a challenge?
My favorite foods typically, like I said, are carbs. I just did a sushi challenge that was super, super good. I'm like you. I mean, I don't tolerate dairy very well. I had the opportunity to go and do the kitchen sink challenge in San Francisco that was on Man vs. Food. And just dealing with the aftermath of that, when you ingest a ton of dairy in a sitting, you're not going to tolerate that well at all. I'm very well known for eating a ton of cereal in my non-challenge videos, so people know me for that.
Indeed you are.
Yeah, I'm very well known for cereal and eating a ton of chocolate.
What, if any, health concerns do you have with competitive eating?
There's no long-term research right now out that suggests or says anything negative about having an extended stomach capacity that you develop when you do eating contests on a regular basis or challenges on a regular basis. So that's one thing that I'm not sure about right now. I tell people all the time, because I get asked this question so much, like, what do you eat during the day? What does your diet look like? And my diet primarily is mainly liquid based. It takes over 8 to 9 pounds to satisfy my appetite on a daily basis. So if I was eating actual food, I would be downing thousands upon thousands of calories. So therefore, you know, I have to make my diet mainly liquid based. And so mainly right now, it's mainly just having a large stomach capacity is going to look like for me as the decades continue to go on. So I'm going to have to deal with that unless I eventually force myself into a 5 to 6 meal a day regimented calorie plan, which I don't really ever plan on doing. But, you know, so that's the only real health concern that I have with competitive eating right now. And obviously, you know, a lot of people also point out the fact that when you're doing large amounts of eating in one time, that your stomach can rupture. I don't even think there's actually any actual proof of somebody dying from a stomach rupture. There are people that have died from choking in actual contests, but to my knowledge, there's no actual evidence of somebody actually dying from a stomach rupture through an eating challenge.
Yeah, I can't say I know of a single one either. And one thing I'll say that I've noted is actually competitive eaters that are even somewhat seasoned to have done a few, their break point, they're very, very aware of where that is. And they usually know when to stop. It's actually people who have never really done a challenge that go too far and they toss their cookies or are at risk for something like that.
I'm also known for doing large calorie challenges, but I'm a guy that knows how to control his calories outside of calorie challenges. And so unfortunately, there's a lot of self-induced vomiting that people put themselves through. There's a lot of just really, really unhealthy ways of people getting rid of food challenges. I'm more concerned about people's mental health than anything. There's people out there that are obviously not active enough or don't know what they're doing enough to know how to manage that large amount of calories they're consuming. So I'm more concerned about people's mental health than physical health when it comes to stuff like this.
Eric is really good at keeping that balance between his physical activity and sports life and then his competitive eating life, whereas a couch potato might very well have something to worry about besides just being sedentary, but then, you know, the overeating piece. So what major factor do you hope that current and future followers take from your eating involvement?
That's an interesting question. I get people every single day that ask me what they can do to get into competitive eating. My sister came out to my eating challenge in Texas 2 weeks ago, and people get absolutely mortified by what they see sometimes. They're either mortified or they're just super into it. When I take an average Joe, and I've done countless challenges with subscribers, with friends, and they're completely turned off to food for the next week or 2 weeks just because they're disgusted by it. So I would say that if you really want to get into competitive eating, you got to start small. If you do an average restaurant challenge and you're still stoked about it, you're ready to just do your next one, then try it again. But honestly, I would say for people that want to get into it, you're 99% not going to get into it. You just really have to know what you're doing. It can get out of control pretty quickly. You have to be okay with gaining weight. I've myself gone up about 40 pounds, just my own mix of strength training and wanting to gain weight for powerlifting. But I also know how to manage that. A lot of people don't know how to manage that. It's something you really have to know what you're doing in terms of your health if you want to get into it. I would say that's the big factor when it comes to being involved in, into eating and all of that. So
word from the wise right there, somebody who's quite involved with it, to put that caveat on there. It's fun to watch. It is a spectacle, but to actually do it and, you know, do it on the regular and actually experience it and do a challenge, it's different. So I think that's some really good advice to put out there to new subscribers or even current ones that you have. With that, speaking of subscribers, how can people find you?
So literally everything that is of mine, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, is all Eric the Electric. And as of 2 days ago, I just started streaming on Twitch. So you guys can also find me on Twitch at Eric the Electric as well. But yeah, that's the cool thing about just having my Eric the Electric name is everything is Eric the Electric. So it's like people are like, what's your Snapchat? I'm like, it's the same as my Instagram. Everything is the same.
Well, that keeps it really easy and not confusing. I wish I would have thought about that when I started with the social media thing. What is the next challenge coming up, or is that a secret?
I would say that most people find me on YouTube or know of my YouTube channel. So I usually do Monday and Friday videos. So my next one's coming up tomorrow. It's a 13-pound sushi roll that I did here in San Diego, which I was just talking about a little bit earlier. And then I plan on doing the hot chicken contest in Tennessee with Molly Schuyler. And I believe Bob Schout and Dave Brunell are going to be out there too. So I'll be doing my first all-pro eating contest at the end of December. So it'll be in Nashville.
Awesome. Well, hey man, good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yep. Eric, appreciate having you on the debut episode of The Big Bite for Down to Feast. And for all of the listeners, make sure you guys check out Down to Feast, dtfeast.com, and the Facebook page. Thanks for listening, you guys. Take care.